right
or the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, there is something happening around the world right now that is going unreported. There is something happening around the world right now that the media wants you to ignore. The corporate media, the mainstream media, and the establishment want you to not see. They want you distracted with all the Trump impeachment, Trump's a racist, Brexit, all this other stuff that they distract you with all the headlines, but we're missing what's actually happening for humanity right now. And let me lead into this with two headlines. First, from the Washington Examiner, Stephen Miller, who may have political aspirations in his future. I hope he does. Stephen Miller says, permanent bureaucracy, a mortal threat to America. What is he saying? It's what we already knew. It's what we've been tricked into not seeing. Trump is basically going up against the government. The corrupt government we know is corrupt. The corrupt bureaucracies we know are corrupt. The corrupt establishment we know is corrupt. And the proof is in the pudding. Just look at how upset the establishment has been since Trump was elected. But it's not just happening here in America. The New York Post has a headline, "The have-nots of the world are over the wealth gap." Well, let's tie these two things together. You have protests, or you could even say riots, happening around the world. Obviously, you see what's happening in Hong Kong. You've seen what's happened in France. You've seen what's happened in the UK with Tommy Robinson and the Brexit deal. You see now what's happening in Chile, in Venezuela, in Ecuador, in Spain. This has all happened since Trump's election. Look at what's going on in Lebanon right now. Look at what's happening in Iran. Look at the power shift that's happened in Saudi Arabia. Doesn't mean this is all perfect. The point is, Trump is anti-establishment. He's trying to be a legitimate leader of the United States of America, and this is throwing the whole globalist world order out of whack. They don't know what to do. They're trying to do everything to send it back into order, which, option number one, get Trump out of office at all costs. And so that's what they've been embarking on. But what is the bigger story? Socialism, communism, oppressive governments, tyranny, authoritarianism, going worldwide has been exposed. And just like the shot heard around the world, when we elected Donald Trump, the whole world got the message. The whole world heard that shot that, hey, if America is going to stand against this globalism, if the people of America are finally awake enough not to be fooled by their media and not to put Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush in, maybe there's still hope that we can beat this back. So they're taking to the streets. They're waving American flags in Hong Kong. So there is 1776 happening worldwide right now, but it's pivotal that America remains sovereign in the face of the UN, in the face of the EU, and in the face of corporate globalism, which is really just communism and socialism run by a corporate Borg that decides who and who can't engage in commerce and where. And so all around the world, people are taken to the streets protesting. Now, here in America, we're so fat and lucky that we don't necessarily have to go out in the streets to protest to overthrow our government. We can still go to the polls. We can still vote. We can still take action locally. So we're able to have a peaceful revolution in America, but the revolution is going on worldwide right now. And for America to get Trump for another 4 years will just be another red flag, another signal to the world and to the world order that, yeah, America is here to stay. We're not going to take a knee for globalism. We're not going to let the Chinese run our lives. And we're not going to take a knee, give up our First Amendment, give up our Second Amendment, give up our Fourth Amendment, etc. So this is happening worldwide right now, 1776, but nobody's talking about it. You notice that? Nobody wants to talk about it, but this is the anti-government, anti-establishment revolution worldwide happening right now.
Yeah.
Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. This is the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, a loaded 3 hours coming up for you. Kerry Porch is joining me in studio next segment, so I look forward to speaking with him, interviewing him, and just having a face-to-face interview with him. We had him on, was that Monday or yesterday? The days are just a blur right now. The crew doesn't remember either. Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes here. The days just blend. But looking forward to him being in studio for the first hour. And then Henrik Palmgren and Lana Lochteff from Red Ice TV, which was just banned by YouTube, will be joining us to talk about that. So we'll see what kind of content it is that they create that is so bad that YouTube had to have them removed. We don't do free speech over there at YouTube, do we? But if I could get a dot cam, please. I've got so much news today. I mean, it is ridiculous. And so it looks like the third hour is probably going to have to be a heavy news blitz. Because I don't think I'm going to have time to get to it in the first hour, because I got so many questions for my in-studio guest, Kerry Porch. And then with Henrik and Lana, I'm sure they're going to have a lot to say about the censorship that's going on right now with YouTube. But, I mean, just a doc cam here, because let me explain. So this tiny little stack right here is, look, Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for the negotiations that his administration has led with Turkey and Syria and Russia and the rest of them in that region. Honestly, Nobel Peace Prize worthy. You'll never know it because the news headlines are lying every day about what's going on. So we're going to correct that, and I'm going to show you this propaganda that they put out every day to act like Trump isn't having a massive success with the foreign policy for Syria and for Turkey. This stack of news right here, this big, big stack right here, big, big old stack right here. This is all the Cold Civil War that's going on right now with Democrats who are engaged in criminal activity up to their eyeballs. And it really hit me last night reading about Adam Schiff and this whistleblower campaign that he's on that he's now delaying. And first they said, oh, he's delaying it. There's so many more people coming forward. This investigation with the whistleblowers is just going so many different directions. We just have to delay. Oh, but see, then people caught on and realized, oh, hey, that's not working. Now they're saying, oh, because Elijah Cummings' death, we got to have a memorial. So we're going to delay all this. This is like their number one thing in the world is getting Trump out. So really, they're going to delay it for an Elijah Cummings memorial. Get real. So we'll get into that. Then I've just got this whole stack of American news and developments that are happening right now that are all imperative to where we're at in time, where we're at in the current historical timeline. And there's so much, for example, today in the news that I didn't even have time, and this is rare, but I didn't even have time to watch except maybe 15 minutes of Zuckerberg's congressional hearing today. And it was so milquetoast what I heard, I didn't feel as bad putting it down. But that's how busy it is. A rare moment where I was not able to watch one of these important congressional hearings this morning. So we may be able to get some clips from that. I haven't really seen anything being reported or going viral. So maybe everybody's just kind of sick of these Facebook hearings and they're just tuning out and because we know what's going on. They just lie about it and then nothing happens. Then I've got this stack over here. Doc cam, please. I've got this stack right here. This is all leftist nonsense news right here that we're going to get to. So that's all happening. And then we've got some developments in China as far as what's going on with the NBA that's going to be very, very telling and very, very important to see how this goes with China and the NBA. So that is all coming up today on the War Room. But again, Kerry Porch coming in studio next segment. I'm going to be talking with him. I've got a bunch more questions for him, so I doubt I'll even be able to get to any of this news with Kerry. And then when Henrik and Lana join me, obviously we'll be talking about the censorship, so we may be able to get in some of it, but
Most of this huge news that I'm going to put all the dots together, show you the constellation, I probably won't be able to get to until the third hour. But let me just tell you this. I might as well just go with this. I'm deciding what is the biggest news story. Is it what happens with the NBA in China could be the catalyst to see where the rest of American corporations go? Or is it what Adam Schiff is doing behind the scenes right now with this impeachment inquiry, which is, again, it hit me like a ton of bricks last night. And it was so obvious, but it just makes even more sense now. Everything that Adam Schiff is saying about whistleblowers or about people coming forward or about his investigation and all of this stuff needing to be delayed because there's more people, more evidence, that is actually true except for the investigation being done into Obama and Spygate and Hillary Clinton. So Adam Schiff and the Democrats are running a total CYA operation right now, a total distraction operation right now. And here's the perfect example, and this is when it all hit me. Again, because they changed it. Yesterday, and then even up to last night until this morning, it was Adam Schiff and Democrats delay key hearings because more evidence is mounting, more whistleblowers coming forward. Well, they kind of backed off that and said, well, no, this is because of Elijah Cummings Memorial. And so you've got headlines all about Schiff flip-flopping. But that's not what it is. It's Schiff projecting what's actually going on behind the scenes to Obama and Brennan and Clapper and the like onto Trump. And so we'll get into these headlines such as Durham scrutinizing four key figures in Trump-Russia investigation, the names we told you were behind the whole thing. Trump's quest for vengeance against John Brennan. No, it's not vengeance. It's John Brennan is a criminal and he's going to get what he deserves. And Brennan's CIA, a subject of Barr's review of Russia's investigation. Yeah, they planted the fake evidence they were working, colluding with Russia and others, foreign intelligence agencies. So we're going to get into all of that. But when Adam Schiff says, well, we have to delay our hearings because we just have more whistleblowers coming forward with more evidence. No, that's John Durham and William Barr. Because now people that are that were corrupt, even just maybe a little or just saw it inside the system, they're coming forward and talking to Durham. They're coming forward and talking to Barr, you see. And the missing link in all of this is Joseph Misfood. So they're kind of just taking on all this intel, trying to locate Misfood. And Adam Schiff is over here with his intelligence committee projecting everything that's happening behind the scenes onto Trump. So just know that that's what's actually going on. Now, when the rubber meets the road on this deal and these things have to come to a head, I mean, who knows? I mean, the explosiveness of this is really, I can't even fathom it, quite frankly. But it's Brennan, it's Clapper, and it's Obama. And they have been sold out by whistleblowers. And Schiff is running a CYA, projecting everything that's happening onto Trump, folks. Like I said, it's unfathomable that this is actually going on. And until the rubber meets the road, we may not even be able to fully comprehend all of it. But we know the players. We know the evidence. We know where it all started. We know where it all went. And now we'd like to think we know where it's going, but Schiff and the Democrats are trying to distract. Folks, we got to take this short break before Kerry Porch joins me in studio. But in this break, go to InfoWarsStore.com and take advantage of the massive specials. Ladies and gentlemen, free shipping store-wide, deep discounts on all the supplements, 40% off the Alexa Pure Breeze, InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Kerry Porsche in studio, ladies and gentlemen. You may recognize him. He was on the War Room the other day, Skyped in. Now he is in studio. He was in with Alex earlier.
So can't wait.
I know that you're really looking forward to Interdimensional Aliens. That's your subject masterpiece right there.
That's my Google PhD, right?
So here you are. I'm sure you're getting a lot of media inquiries. Your videos have been viewed millions of times, the content.
Crazy.
I know, right? But here you are at InfoWars, the exact opposite, the polar opposite of CNN.
A little bit.
And your voice is getting out there. What has it been, this really just total polar flip in your life? What has it been like personally for you with family and friends, even professional relationships? I mean, you've talked about some of those difficulties professionally, but what about personally? Are people shocked? Are they, oh my gosh, how could you? Are they encouraging of you? What has it been like personally for you to undergo this transition in your life?
It's been wild, to say the least, Owen, and thanks for having me on person. It's truly an honor to be here with you and Alex and the gang. Again, I'm a new, relatively new listener and consumer of your content, so I'm really happy to be here. It's upended my life in good and bad ways, so to speak. Let me back up. So I don't know if you heard the previous interview. Eric Cochran, the Pinterest insider, was telling me something very profound that came through. Leading up to the release, he said, trust me, like the day of, leading up to it, it's going to be nuts. You're going to be inundated with a flood of emotions. But I promise you, as soon as they hit upload, within a couple hours, you'll feel at peace. And that's what happened. Now, granted, when they hit release, we were off the grid moving and just getting out of town. But when we finally stopped to slow down and just watch the video, like, remember, we weren't on the internet. My fiance and I, we weren't on the internet for, you know, 2 or 3 hours after it broke, so we didn't get to see it.
Yeah, you were traveling. You watched it in the back of the U-Haul, you said. Yeah,
absolutely. And it was part of the Veritas team that helped us out and helped us move and whatnot. They're great people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we had everything staged in it, right, to get in a U-Haul, like within 15 minutes of it dropping. We were out of town, roughly. And after we finally moved all our stuff to an undisclosed storage facility in Maryland, we just sat in the back of a U-Haul van, all X of us, X number, remain anonymous, all members of the team. We sat in the back of this dingy U-Haul van and watched it on someone's iPad. Apparently.
And those were some of the Project Veritas people watching it for the first time with you.
Yep. We all kind of made an unspoken, not pact, but like, hey, we're all doing this together. We're not going to watch it without all of us watching it together. And it was kind of crazy. Somewhere up in Maryland, just sitting in the back of a dusty old $19 a day U-Haul van and just sitting there watching, and it's like, wow,
that's a gas guzzler, so you should probably apologize for your carbon consumption.
Indeed, yeah, that, I mean, pretty much, you know.
But, you know, I noticed you didn't bring up any souring of relationships with family or friends.
Oh, yes, my apologies.
Was that because there was none of that?
No, there was a lot of both. So leading up to it also, this is another one of those prophetic things that O'Keefe was telling me, like, you know, family is going to be very critical leading up to and immediately following. But once the dust settles the first day, they will understand. I'm like, okay, I'm trusting you. And it came true because, you know, family was worried about us for obvious physical and financial reasons. I mean, they're coming from a good place, but it was highly critical leading up to it, again, out of a good place. But within 5 hours, when the flood of messages and texts and private messages started showing up, even the public ones on the GoFundMe, like the public board, they finally saw, like, hey, I'm a patriot from UK or whatever. Thank you for doing this, this, and this. I mean, they basically came and said, man, Kerry, we are sorry. We had no idea that it would have this type of impact. So it was kind of cool to have everyone come around and you know, be on the board and stuff. And again, not knocking any of our families. They were coming at it from a good place. But it was kind of cool to see them kind of flip in a good way. Like, man, this thing was really bigger than all of us.
Well, I feel like that's kind of some of this. Well, really, it's based in propaganda, but this notion that somehow Trump supporters are bad or conservatives are bad. And so this is like, oh, my gosh, you exposing, quote unquote, CNN. That's like you going to the dark side. Like, oh, no, Kerry, don't go to the dark side.
Right. I mean, a lot of that came on, too. I mean, again, I torched my Facebook the morning of for obvious reasons.
Hopefully you save some of that stuff, because I think Facebook, once you get rid of it, they claim like none of it's yours anymore.
Yeah, I mean, they own everything. They're taking over the world in many ways. But, you know, it was just at a point, I think I had my Facebook for, what, 15 years at the time. And like many people, I check it multiple times a day. I'm addicted to it. I can admit that. So kind of hitting the deactivate or delete or whatever button it's called, it was actually pretty cathartic.
At first, it's kind of like when you lose your cell phone. At first, you're like in that weird state of panic, but then after an hour, you're like, "Oh wait, I'm okay. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna be okay."
I mean, I still catch myself like swiping up on my iPhone to go to the Facebook logo, and I go
it's
there.
It's not even there,
and it's like, you know, blue face or whatever. I'm like,
but actually, you're kind of ahead of them because they can't ban you if you get rid of Facebook first, right?
Torch it first,
yeah.
But to answer your previous question, Owen, but I did have good friends. I mean, I have thousands of friends from my career and traveling and stuff like that. But my collegiate friends back in the day, from what I saw, some screenshots, it's pretty much split down the middle politically. Like, hey, you're a hero, it's great. Or, hey, F you, go kill yourself, you're a POS and stuff like that. And
that's tolerant.
And these are many, many old fraternity brothers and everything like that from my times in school and traveling and stuff. You know, people that are near and dear to my heart, but I can understand their points of view. I mean, I can empathize with them. Because I just, again, you know, kick their puppy.
Well, is it something, because I've had similar circumstances with my friends. Yours is obviously in a flashpoint, but I'll go back home. I'm from St. Louis, and I'll be with friends from all sides of the political aisle, Democrat voters, Republican voters, whatever, and we disagree. We'll fight like cats and dogs, but there's never any resentment. There's never any hate. There might be like, you're a liberal nut, or, you know, you're a conservative bigot or crazy, stuff like that, but we're always able to still remain friends, and it never really gets between us. With your friends, is it the same way, or is it like, oh, totally, totally vitriolic?
And well, I mean, you said it perfectly yourself. It's basically just a laser, just focused, like this hyper-focused thing where, you know, we basically had probably the biggest story of the year of any news story aside from, like, impeachment or whatever like that. But it was very vitriolic. I've seen some of the messages, but no one has ever really, I mean, I've gotten a few like, hey, go F and kill yourself messages from randos, but no one I personally know has gotten brave enough to do that. Granted, they hear this, they're probably going to flood it with it, but.
well, but wait a second, from randos, what are the odds that that's like Oliver Darcy?
It certainly could be.
Pierre Delecto type of Pierre Delecto. You know what that actually translates to?
No, what does it say?
Delightful Peter.
I thought it was something like that. But I saw that. I'm like, this has to be Babylon B. And I'm like, oh, it really is his Twitter handle.
No, Romney is Delightful Peter. So I imagine maybe that's what his friends in the secret societies call him, is Delightful Peter.
I mean, hey, if that's what he's doing on the taxpayer dime, or any of these people up on the Hill, just like that Patrick Davis said, you know, all these a-holes on the Hill, so.
Yeah. All right, I've got a couple more questions. I'm going to ask Kerry on the other side. What does he mean when he says at peace? He says that, at peace. Let's find out what that means on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
And it's Kerry Porch in studio with us, the exposed CNN whistleblower. It's a pleasure to finally meet him in person and have him in studio for this interview. We're talking about some stuff just outside of the live show here, and how I reached out to Kerry via Twitter, and that's the last place I'm allowed to exist. I'm banned from YouTube, banned from Facebook, and that's one of the things that people don't realize with the censorship is it cuts off communication. It's like, how could I have reached out to you? Would I have even been able to reach out to you if it wasn't for me being able to message you on Twitter? So it's just one of the things with the censorship. I don't think people realize until they have to deal with it.
It's crazy, and it's one of those things where I didn't swear, but I just didn't really want to do a Twitter. But, you know, after torching all my social media and just being advised from some people in the industry, like, no, you need to get one. I'm like, oh. Because I used Twitter before mainly as a customer service tool. I mean, there was a few journos that kind of got my screenshots on my old Twitter account. I mean, I had like 500 followers. Like, look, he's griping at Lyft and Amazon or whatever for, I'm like, okay, this is what you have?
Oh, how dare you?
I mean, well, because I understood that you could use Twitter as a customer service platform, like, you know.
And sometimes they actually respond. They might send you a gift card or something.
Yeah, I mean, and I was never wanting free stuff. It was just when my Uber bike in D.C. was, like, permanently braked. I'm like, hey, man, this ride was effed up, can I at least have a $2 credit for the next one? You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a buddy. I won't say for what major brand, but he runs social media for a major, major brand. And he does a lot of stuff like that, totally successful with customer outreach on Twitter. It's a wild thing. So, but that's another point is you get cut off of that commerce. You get cut off of that communication. It's like, well, what do you do now? You're cut off from that. But that's a separate issue. I want to get back to the question that I teased. And you've said this multiple times. You say you're at peace.
Yes.
You're at peace now. And there was some, maybe some tribulation, some trials you were going through, some doubt before the release. But what does that mean? What does that mean you're at peace after the release of the tapes?
Meaning that the months and months and months of hard work of basically working almost two full-time jobs and leading up to the release is very cathartic that, you know, come what may, you know, whether I get sued into oblivion or all my bank accounts wrecked or this or that or pay, whatever, come what may, at least the story is out and I literally sleep well now. Not only because the story's out there, but again, just the fatigue factor. I mean, it was literally working almost two full-time jobs, you know, in this whole run-up. And it's just, I was exhausted by the end of it. And of course, the family dynamics, and we're moving, and of course, finding out we're having a child. And it's just all this stuff compounded into one.
The personal life always, you know, it never takes a day off, right?
But yes, it's the same thing that, you know, the Pinterest insider told me, like, I promise you within a couple hours of the release, you'll feel at peace. And that's what I have. And again, whatever come what may, the story's out there for the public to love it, hate it, dissect it, do what they're going to do with it. But I know that I did what I thought was right, stand in my truth, and all the other stuff like that. But it's out there, and now I can just rest easy, you know, for the most part.
But nobody can deny. I mean, that's the thing, too. That's why Project Veritas, I think, is so important, because it's not hearsay. It's not my truth. It is the reality, exactly.
And I always like to use the term, even when I was a screeching NPC, like, I still respected Veritas. I may not have liked them, but I still respected James O'Keefe, because he got into these crazy meetings or he got the footage that no one else could with his undercovers. And I always knew who he was. And as I was slowly shifting back to the center and to the right politically, you know, the planet seemed to align. Again, I was at my wit's end 2 years into the job, and I just couldn't take any more. Saw him at CPAC, and then we kind of know the story from there.
And, of course, James O'Keefe, such a great guy. I want to talk about that and the integrity of Project Veritas. But going through this process, it was about, what, like a five-month process getting all these tapes, or 2 months, was it?
Again, I still got to get my math together. CPAC was February or March of this year. We talked for a month or two, so, you know, April, May. So basically from May, June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, right at 5.5, 6 months.
About 5 months. Now, I would imagine if you'd been doing this since you started in 2017, you would have more bombshell stuff.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have lasted. Like, it truly was not just time-wise exhausting, but very emotionally exhausting. So I always try to make the point that, you know, I came there, like, these great people that you see on tape, like, they were my friends. They're good people. I know I'm hardly
any. Well, let's actually hold off on that, because I want to get into that in the next segment when we talk about the integrity of Project Veritas, because I think that kind of intertwines, actually, at least. But I guess, because what you're saying there is what I was hitting at, is that you're sitting there, you say you're working two full-time jobs, essentially. It's nerve-wracking. I mean, essentially, you're like a double agent. But how much of that was, I mean, how much of it was you going to work every day? Because you said there were some nerves in the beginning. Are they going to see my camera and all that? You kind of got used to that. But was going into this, approaching it, was it, okay, I have to go and do my normal thing at CNN? Or do I have to behave differently to make sure people aren't suspicious? Or were you changing your behavior to get the best footage? What was your psychological and physical approach going in?
So my approach, and again, I had some great, I don't know how this is going to be perceived, but, you know, I did have some help and like, hey, like, you're talking to this person and this is a potential, like, really interesting storyline. You know, can we expound upon that? So for instance, I would just do my normal stuff and, you know, there was never any, like trickery or anything like that, but it's just like having normal conversations, but just asking certain questions in different directions. And you saw all the conversations, like all the great people were like, yeah, we hate Trump, but we hate Trump, but we don't want to cover him all the time or this and that. It was just basically trying to have normal conversations with people. And, you know, when you're having a conversation with someone, you'd be surprised what people will you know, just say, just in a moment of just honesty, just having a great time, and stuff that they can't say, you know, on a public setting, like, you know, the stuff they were saying about Zucker and stuff, they'd never say that in a board meeting or something like that.
Right.
But yeah, just trying to be as normal as I could, not raising any suspicions. Now the last few weeks, like leading up to when, my fiance and I were like, we knew that we were pregnant. It's like, okay, one thing, we don't want to raise a child in DC. So that's when we made the decision to
move.
Can't
blame you for that.
I mean,
beautiful city, yeah, but I couldn't
love it.
I couldn't stay there much longer.
I mean, we were paying $1,500 for a room, like a little room in a house. They rent out all the rooms, and you know, rats here and this. Anyways, I digress. But so we knew that we kind of had negative time, like a finite end date. So that's when it basically kind of ramped up, and you know, just worked a little bit harder to try to get some stuff at the end. That's when I started getting the 9 a.m. calls. Like I would say, there's these calls, and that's kind of what raised a lot of people's eyebrows. Like, we need the calls. It's like, okay.
And then you got the 9 a.m. call the day after you released
of.
The tape.
The day of.
Right. Which is almost like, I mean, I can't even imagine what that's like. Yeah, totally crazy.
Well,
it's a book, man. I'm telling you. I know we talked about this on air. You got a book to tell, and maybe you're not a writer. You could have somebody ghostwrite it, but I really think that you got a story to tell, and there's a book there.
Well,
I know you've got some time to kind of... You know, well,
I am unemployed, and thankfully that all the Patriots, your listeners, have thrown a few bucks in the kitty, and that's, I mean, we are so gracious about that. And
yeah, we saw your GoFundMe. You already went over the goal, right?
Yeah, and I'm in process right now. I definitely would. I mean, obviously, we'll welcome any other donation. You guys are great, but I am working on a separate type of fund. Again, I'll push it with Alex said he would push it, and I hope you will too, to help the people that did get fired because of me, because I definitely want them to be made whole as well.
Well, and let's talk about the integrity of Project Veritas on the other side, because I know that, and I don't want you to say anything, you know, I know some things, but I don't want you to say it all.
Sure.
But basically, they take care of you. They make sure that they cross all the T's, dot all the I's. They don't twist their words. They don't say one thing and then do the other thing. So let's just talk about the integrity over there at Project Veritas with James O'Keefe on the other side of this break. And I don't think anyone else has asked you yet about who you're going to vote for in 2020 other than me.
You were the only one that had the foresight to do that.
You said you're leaning Trump. And so I'm going to find out if he's had any backlash from that, or if anyone else has found out that he's voting Trump yet that didn't happen to hear that broadcast when Kerry was on with us earlier this week. So we're going to do that. On the other side of this break, it's Kerry Porch, ladies and gentlemen, the CNN whistleblower, the exposed CNN from Project Veritas whistleblower in studio with us. We got one more segment with him on the other side of this break. So if you're going to go anywhere, just go over to InfoWarsStore.com. But don't leave this broadcast. But just go to InfoWarsStore.com. That's it. Or you can go to Kerry Porch's right there, his GoFundMe. There it is.
Infowars.com/show.
I'm standing in this briefing room right now. There is no government official here, but I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. But I'll say that the press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people. The press is not the enemy of the people.
They came in peace.
Maybe we should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue, like these folks who chant CNN sucks and fake news. Maybe we should go out, all journalists should go out on Pennsylvania Avenue and chant, we're not the enemy of the people.
Oh my gosh, what is CNN doing to that innocent town?
We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people. We're not the enemy of the people.
So we went back into the archives and we found this live-action meme put together by Rob Dew, which is a depiction of CNN as in Mars Attacks. You know, we come in peace and they just destroy Earth. But you never saw that before.
That was great.
You liked that?
I was dying.
See, that's the problem is we put out so many great things like that and we just air them once and we move on to the next thing. And it's so many times people don't even see it.
And instead of just airing it over and over, we just move on to the next thing. But
You know, memes are responsible for Trump getting the president. All you racist bigots in
that's
memes.
True. They have to make memes illegal,
right?
But you made a comment when you saw Jim Acosta. I'm sure you worked with him a lot.
I mean, I brushed shoulders with him a couple times. We were in different avenues. Like he was primarily at the White House. He would come and run a Situation Room when Wolf wasn't there. So, you know, I've only interacted with the man like two or three times.
Wait. He hosted for. For Blitzer?
Yeah, like when Wolf was out or on vacation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Like that. So
I quit watching CNN even just for my news aggregation because it's just worthless. It's the same thing every day.
You weren't missing much.
Well, that's why I realized. That's why I shut it off. But you know what? The funny thing is about Jim Acosta, at least I've heard, is he's actually kind of a nice guy, like to get along with, but he's good at his job and he knows his role is to just be a little pest, just to be a little pest in there and just bother everybody. And he has that little tinge about him, but I've actually heard he's kind of just a funny guy.
I mean, he might be and stuff. It's just the water cooler I've heard is just no one in the bureau really enjoys his company or enjoys to be around him.
But he knows that's his role. That's what I'm saying. He's embraced his role as the pest.
I mean, if you want to embrace your role as the villain or something or the antagonist, cool.
Hey,
you know?
Hats off to it. If you're going to do it, at least embrace it.
Right.
Jim Acosta is the White House press correspondence rat. He didn't touch that lady, though, and he didn't rip the microphone away from her. I don't care what the video proves. Videos are doctored, okay?
They're deep fakes, remember?
Yes. Jim Acosta has never done anything wrong or harm to fly. I read it on Snopes. All right, let's get into the integrity of Project Veritas. I guess you watch South Park?
Tegrity.
That's good. So Tegrity. This is the Tegrity of Project Veritas. For real, though, I've actually been lucky enough to – I consider myself friends with a couple other Project Veritas whistleblowers. They didn't put their faces out there like you. They did more undercover stuff and then went off to do their own thing. But they've pretty much said the same thing about Project Veritas. James O'Keefe, total stand-up guy. And just to kind of give the audience more of an idea of what we're talking about, you know, there's a lot of delicate stuff that goes on in this process when you're filming, you know, for hundreds of hours.
Yeah.
People that you care about, people that you like, friends that work at those companies, there's backlash there. But talk about, you know, how Project Veritas and with yourself, James O'Keefe, agreed to a deal. And they always do exactly what they say. They never waver, and they're going to respect whatever wishes you have to protect other people that may not be involved in, you know, trying to get Trump out of office, but just wanting to do their job. So just talk about the integrity of James O'Keefe and Project Veritas.
I mean, I knew of James even when I was on the left. Always respected him. You know, followed his kind of career, not as a stalker or anything, but just kind of like seeing what's going on. And then, you know, like the lawsuits here and there. I mean, that was kind of, pitch is the wrong word, but that was kind of one of his bullet points to help alleviate some of my objections or fears is, you know, legalities and whatnot. He's like, Kerry, I've been sued 20 times the last 6 or 7 lawsuits we've won. He spent... You know, he said this on publicly many times. He spent over $500,000 on the last one just so he wouldn't have to settle for a lesser fee so he could still have his record. And, again, it was a delicate dance when we started talking for the month and a half, 2 months, just as we were both feeling each other out because we both had a lot to lose if one of us was not on the level. Because I know he's had people trying to infiltrate his place and, you know, we both had a lot to lose. Like, I'm sitting here... You know, going to do what I do. I mean, I'm torching my career in essence, you know, but.
And you know, too, at the end of the day, you know, it's Project Veritas that has creative control. So there's kind of that thought in your head, like, well, you don't know what the final product is going to be. But as they always do, they made their promises and they came through.
Yeah. I mean, not to use the cliche hashtag, but promises made, promises kept. I mean, I never even thought I'd get a dollar from this. You know, I did it because I wanted to do it in the right thing. And then come to find out that they did the GoFundMe for everyone before me. So it's just kind of a template. Like they now have kind of a template of what they do. And, you know, thankfully, like me and a fiance have, you know, a couple dollars to live on for a couple years while we have the baby and figure out our next move. But again, Integrity Farms, that's what that place is over there. Everyone I've met in person on the phone from HQ, the support people, I mean, they all had my back. I mean, obviously, they didn't give me complete creative control. Like you said, it's on the back end. But I made it my point clear that I didn't want anyone to be a bad guy or girl that truly wasn't.
Yeah.
And as you see, the only true villain on there, so to speak, was Zucker and the higher-ups that were, you know, yanking the chain and stuff. And of course, you saw part four that dropped, what, yesterday? Another type of
crazy
villain.
That was, by the way, was that the one you were expecting?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything else you're expecting?
To my knowledge, no. I mean, they've got hundreds of hours. There might be some nuggets on there from time to time, but again, let's just wait and see.
Yeah. Okay. So, but that is the big other one that you were expecting. By the way, the media silent on that.
Yeah, but I thought everyone was all on board for me too, left, right, and center of the spectrum.
Oh, come on, you know that's not true.
You mean it's not one sided?
No. And I'm still waiting for my interview request from CNN for the lady that grabbed my crotch.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah. I haven't got my invite on CNN yet.
Well, you just hold out for it, sir. I know.
Should I hold my breath?
It's just around the corner.
I'll die. All right. You said, at least for now, you're leaning on voting for Trump in 2020. We still have a year, but Trump has your vote right now. Has there been any backlash for saying that? Do people know that that's where you lie right now?
Well, they do now. But my inner circles kind of knew that that's where I was leaning, you know, when I kind of crossed that bridge. But I definitely encountered some backlash from my inner circle, who I would say I'm going to vote for Trump this next election. And of course, you get your normal, like, you know, screeching, like NPC type noises, and
how could you?
Yeah, it's like racist, bigot, xenophobe, and all the other isms that.
And then
come
you
out,
probably became a racist bigot overnight too.
Absolutely, I was burned on several social.
Probably hate
circles.
Women and
yep.
Everything.
I mean, all the cliche yeah. Stuff that I once called other people. You know, my Facebook timeline comes in and shows.
That's ironic. That's ironic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hey, Facebook, remember this 3 years ago? And it's a Facebook dumpster fire. I'm like,
oh. Oh my gosh. It goes back. It flashes back on your timeline.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. And it's like, yeah, here was me at a Trump protest. And now you're just totally viral for the exposed CNN.
It's insane. And there's a picture I definitely want to show you. This is going to blow your mind. If I can find it real quick, I apologize.
By the way, so you heard it here first. James O'Keefe, this is from Carrie Porch. James O'Keefe is Tally from Tegrity Farms. Okay. So go ahead and put that meme out there. James O'Keefe is Tally.
So if you want to zoom in on this, this was at the Denver caucuses.
Is this you? So here, look at that. Now, this is from Facebook. This is a screenshot.
Right.
You got rid of
it. Yeah, screenshot.
No beard. Got the Bernie sticker on.
Yep, at a rally.
Okay.
At a caucus at the Denver caucuses.
So Facebook flashed you back there.
Yeah, it kind of brought it back. You remember yourself this day? I'm like, actually, I do remember. And
you're like, why Facebook?
Yep.
Well, we've only got a minute left to talk about quantum computing.
I thought you were gonna get something easy.
Well, we ended up spending most of the time on the Project Veritas stuff, but just in 60 seconds, you said that you kind of like to follow this stuff. Do you think Google? I think Google and others have already done human testing on AI brain chips and quantum computing. That's my conspiracy theory. Do you think that's wild out there?
I mean, it's out there, but it's plausible. I mean, with all the stuff now, what our phone is tracking us and our habits and selling our data and packaging it. I mean, this, to me, it wouldn't be a far stretch. I mean, we're making advances in science every day, so this just seems kind of a natural progression. Again, we'll wait and see what DARPA or whoever comes up with in the meantime.
Well, there you go, folks. Carrie Port said it first. We're all being run by interdimensional aliens. James O'Keefe is Tally. And human testing is being done in the basement of InfoWars with AI brain chips. No, it's all a joke. Hey, Carrie, thank you so much, man.
Pleasure.
Awesome to come in studio. Carrie Porch, ladies and gentlemen, an American hero. The CNN, exposed CNN whistleblower at Project Veritas. Great interview. Share it with your friends and family.
.com/brave.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Taylor, nice to meet you.
No, I'm genitalia.
Okay.
I'm great.
Hi guys, I'm genitalia. How are you?
Good. How are you?
What's the worst thing about Trump supporters?
Oh my god, this is the
What's the worst thing about Trump supporters? Probably how they're like stuck in their own ways, you know, not open to change.
Yeah, you said they're big.
Yeah.
Explain that.
They're anti same-sex marriage, anti any type of.
What the f?
Oh, that's not nice. You just said that Trump supporters are like that.
Can I take a picture with you?
You just said Trump supporters are like that.
Hey, can I take a picture with you real quick?
Come here.
So, this girl over here said the Trump supporters are just locked in their ways and everything.
Bro, hey, this is the Kent State Gun Girl. Let's get f you. How about that? F
you.
Very progressive and intolerant, right? Wow, that was cool. Very brave and stunning. Look how brave they are. Wow. Look how brave they are. You're so brave and stunning and beautiful. Did I mention beautiful? Crikey. This is a wild liberal out here in the wild in their natural habitat being so rude and intolerant. I can't believe we have a real one. What's your natural habitat? I can't believe I'm this close to a real-life liberal. Oh, my God, out here in the wild being so rude.
Oh,
disgusting.
You are nuts.
See, right here, right in front of me, right here in the wild, asking so ridiculous and rude.
She's nuts.
Yeah, I agree.
She's nuts.
I can't believe it.
You're out of
They're not
mind.
Even scared or anything.
There is an institute. You're right. She's nuts.
What do you think about this? There's a real-life liberal right out here in the wild, acting so rude.
Liberal conservative, you're nuts. Oh, well, you are nuts.
Actually, I can't believe this. I am okay. My name is Jenna Talia.
You look like you're a liberal.
So I'm good, right?
Yeah.
She's not.
She's a fake liberal.
She's not.
Hey, what's a fake liberal?
I don't know.
You? Are you a conservative?
No. My name is Jenna Talia, and I'm a feminist with Feminist Camp out here talking about liberals out here in the wild acting so intolerant. So and you are a good example. So are those two. Such a good example.
Young girl who gets trolled on Twitter every day because she's a piece of shit. Or is that someone else?
No, my name is Jenna Talia.
With the Invisalign?
Yep. Okay. Is that okay that I'm straightening my teeth?
You should talk to the gay person for Trump over there. I'd like to know who he is so we could give him a hug because he must be self-hating if he's for
what?
Trump.
He's self-hating if he's a gay for Trump?
Yeah, there's a gay over there that has gays for gay for Trump. He's over there.
You want to go give him a hug? We can go with you.
Okay. Hey, so let me explain something. This girl is not a liberal. She's dressed up as one. Oh. She's a conservative in disguise. Her name is Jenna Talia. Shut the entire up.
Shut the entire up. Don't touch my stuff.
This is so busted.
You guys are all about consent. Don't touch me without my consent.
I didn't touch you. I touched your name tag.
Don't touch my stuff. I don't consent.
Is this real?
You guys are anti-consent. What do you think
You're
about that?
You're making fun of liberals right now. What is with the rainbow necklace? Explain that, because all liberals are gay? What is that?
I didn't say all liberals. She just said all liberals are gay.
All liberals are gay?
Gay?
Oh. Question, dumbass.
That's so funny.
Are you fine? Come back.
All right, very cool. You guys are so neat. So neat and beautiful and tolerant and progressive. I love it all. I love it all. I'll come over here. Do something. You're going to threaten me. Do something. You know my name. So this whole video has been trying to go out and show what liberals think about Trump supporters. A lot of liberals and Democrats like to say, oh, that's not the majority of us. We're tolerant. We're loving. That's just the crazies. I wanted to come out here today and prove that that is the majority of Democrats. They hate Trump supporters. They don't like them. They have these predispositions about them that aren't true. By God, we just proved exactly what we're talking about here right now. All right. Jenna Talia, out.
Can I get put on your Twitter? Like, when you make the videos for your Twitter, can I get put on it?
Sure, say the nastiest thing about me you can think of.
I don't want to be rude.
Go ahead.
But I don't want to be rude.
Why not?
Because I don't want to act like you. I mean, you are being rude, made a joke.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room. There's a new club forming. It's called the I'm Banned from YouTube Club. And so we've got some of the latest guests in that club joining me from Red Ice, and that is Henrik Palmgren and Lana Lochteff. Hope I said that right. They're going to join me here in just a minute. I believe they're in Sweden. So joining me from Sweden. But folks, first of all, you just saw the great guest, Carrie Porsche, in studio. What a pleasure it was to meet him and interview him. You see all the great guests that we have on, the ones we bring into studio, the guests from Red Ice coming up next. You see the great crew that works around the clock to make sure that our content is quality. You see the work that Alex puts in, that I put in. And it's all possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. In fact, really, on my end of things, it drives me more, it motivates me more, knowing that it's you, the audience of the War Room, that is the backbone of my career, literally, to keep me on air here at InfoWars. So, cannot say thank you enough. Cannot stress the importance of your support enough. And that's why we created Band.video. So, we have a platform, and that's why when we see other people get kicked off of these mainstream platforms like Red Ice TV, we bring them on. But folks, take advantage. Everything must go sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Up to 70% off some of the supplements. In fact, it's 75% off the 8-pack power stack. And I may have some samples of our supplements and products that I'll be giving out at our Tent City tailgate coming up on November 9th. That's right, November 9th, Tent City tailgate in Austin, Texas, outside of the UT football game. May have some supplements for your tasting pleasure and some, I don't know, protein bars maybe. So come out for that. And then the next day we have a flag lay, but I'll get into that later. But just want to remind you about the huge specials, free shipping store-wide at InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, so the latest member of the Hey, I'm Banned from YouTube Club is Red Ice TV. And so Henrik and Lana join me now, and it's the same formula, ladies and gentlemen. The SPLC, Hate Watch, all of these groups target them because they don't like their content or they don't like their politics, and so they get removed. Now, we've got our own issues here in the United States that we're dealing with. In Sweden, though, they've actually gone much further down this threshold, ladies and gentlemen, with free speech and really just the invasion of foreign internationals destroying their once great tradition and culture. So Henrik and Lana join me now. I'm not sure which one of you wants to start, but let's be here. I'm going to be sexist, and I'm going to let the woman go first. Yeah, you thought I was going the other way. So Lana, what are they telling
you? Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Was there a specific thing or video that you guys did that triggered this, or was it just they were aiming to get you removed for a long time and finally they were able to do it?
Correct. It was just suddenly deleted one day. We didn't have any strikes. Everything was in good standing. And one morning we woke up and some friends were tweeting, "Hey, by the way, Red Ice's channel is gone." And we went and looked, and sure enough, it was gone. I remember, Henrik, my first words were, "Let me have a cup of coffee first."
Yeah, let's get some coffee first, and then we'll deal with this.
We knew the axe was coming, because you know how it is. I mean, you guys at InfoWars know exactly how it is. If we're true, independent, alt media, like you say, supported by the people, not by corporate money, and people like us, people watch us, there's good production value, we reach a lot of people, we're not leftists, we're anti-left, and they can't have that. So suddenly deleted for no reason, and yes, ADL, SPLC, Media Matters, for sure, is behind it.
So you guys were expecting this, and Henrik, I mean, obviously expecting the censorship, had they been hitting you on YouTube with any removal of videos or demonetization, or was this just out of nowhere, one strike gone?
No, this was a long process of getting videos removed. Some of the most popular ones that we had, reaching almost a million views. Some of them were kind of one by one picked off, really. It was actually a lot of the kind of shorter videos that you did, Lana, first.
Yeah, they butchered my playlist,
Which is, you know, we do longer shows as well, but we do like shorter, maybe 15, 10-minute videos, really impactful, well-produced, and they did reach a lot of people. And so they just started taking those down. We did get some strikes. Some we managed to actually appeal, but most of them we did not. The last thing that happened was we had a warning, and I know that YouTube updated their system. They had some new kind of way that they did that. So I believe that those warnings lingered on for forever. I didn't see a date on that it was going to expire or anything like that. But so we kind of expected it, and we had already been obviously throttled or shadow banned or whatever you want to call it. People did not get notifications.
Not coming up recommended. Super chats. We never monetized, though, thankfully.
No, we never did.
We never became dependent on that.
And so, we did super chats, I think, for what, like a month or something?
Yeah.
And then that was yanked immediately as soon as we made a little money on YouTube. But yeah, we did have some really popular videos. Some people speculated. I actually did an expose of Greta Thunberg, the climate alarmist from my country, Sweden. And we are, for the record, by the way, we're actually in the U.S. now. We're on the East Coast. But I go back and forth all the time. I'm from Sweden. We've lived there together for many years as well. So we know the situation very well there. And I did video about her and her connections, actually, to the Socialist International, the Social Democrats, kind of elite, really, in Sweden. The connections to the energy sector, the marketing forces behind her, how she kind of taps into that, how the elite is using her kind of as a child, really, to push in front of the podium to, in one way, kind of take the hits, but as well, but shove this message down our throats, adults' throats and stuff like that. And that got 500,000 views, fairly short time. I think it was 2 weeks or so before we were banned. But it's speculation because we never received any communication, never any email. I know that there's thousands and thousands of people, must have been, at least hundreds and hundreds, that slammed Team YouTube on Twitter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they did see it. They were hammered. But no, nothing. No message. You guys know that well.
This is confusing to me, too. So both of you are from Sweden, correct? You're living in the U.S. now, but you're both
I'm American. Yeah, okay. I'm American. Henrik is Swedish.
Well, I asked that because it's my understanding most of your content, correct me if I'm wrong, was dealing with Swedish political and cultural issues. And so I'm just confused. Definitely.
Yeah, I covered that quite extensively because of, you know, obviously being interested in those questions. We actually covered quite extensively European politics as well, over the board. But yeah, America, definitely. I mean,
Lots of
America. We have a big audience in America. Because,
yeah, that was my confusion here is why are these American leftist groups going after your channel if most of what you're doing pertains to Sweden? But if you're covering world events in the West and Europe, that does make more sense for them to target you for that. You had almost 500,000 subscribers on your YouTube channel when they took it down. Have you guys been banned or censored on any other social media platform?
Did you do the list?
Yeah, let's see. There's PayPal, Braintree. This is pretty ridiculous. Venmo. Now we're talking also, I have a little clothing store online that also is included in this list. Wells Fargo, Zelle, now YouTube, Skrill, Coinbase, Stitcher, TuneIn, iTunes. And I have to laugh at these, but Pinterest and iHeartRadio. I think iHeartRadio really hurt us the most for sure. So, I mean, it's absurd. And what do they say?
Lana, that's financial services,
yes,
too.
Yes, financial services.
Well, actually, yeah, because it sounded most of what you just listed were banking services. So they're going after your bottom line here.
Yes, exactly. And, you know the drill. Everything is hate speech, but they can't point to anything that is actually hateful or inciting violence because we don't do that. They just don't like the speech that we give. That's all it is. They just disagree with us. We know how this works. And I'm really tired of people talking about...
We're about to take a break here. Obviously, this is, I totally know where you're coming from. It's tough to put so much effort to build something, have a platform, and just the views and the content and the exposure to just have it wiped away overnight. It's a tough thing to deal with. And so now you have to figure out what you do next. Do you guys have a backup platform or where can people still go to see your videos and everything you make?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't actually use YouTube initially to build I did a podcast initially. I started way back in 2006, actually. A lot of different topics covered, conspiracy and all kinds of interesting things, moved more towards nationalism and exposing globalism and stuff like that in recent years. But we've had an infrastructure already. We host everything on a member site that we do have where people can subscribe. We host the videos there. We do have backups, of course, other ways. We even found out about a good service called Alt Censored the other day. Mm-hmm. They apparently took a fingerprint essentially of everything that was on our YouTube channel at the time, I think maybe a couple of weeks before it was deleted or something like that. So it's still out there. But as far as YouTube is concerned, people type in our name. It's all the enemy's smear hit pieces that comes up first, unfortunately.
Nazi,
well, how dare you? How dare
racist.
You want to be nationalists? How dare you stop the globalists and the global communists from taking over Sweden and Europe and the West? I think it's good that your free speech got banned. We should all be slaves to the globalists. How dare you?
Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room. Henrik Palmgren and Lana Lochteff are on the air with me here from Red Eyes TV. They've been banned by YouTube and a dozen of other platforms as well. They're not allowed to engage in commerce, the thought criminals.
And you know, it's amazing how people can just be demonized for their free speech, and then that somehow sticks with them and just echoes and reverberates. And then by the time you meet somebody or you see them on the air, you're like, oh, them? Like, oh my gosh. Well, what the heck? It's free speech. So they get kicked off of YouTube as well as other platforms, but you can still find them on Twitter for now at Red Ice TV and the website redice.tv. And again, I was explaining this earlier with Carrie, but this interview would have never happened if it wasn't for me being allowed on Twitter and them being allowed on Twitter. So there's so much communication that's done there that, I mean, it's like a last bastion. I guess Twitter hates free speech the least. So it's kind of a last main platform where everybody's at, where you can still communicate and reach out to people, get them on for interviews or collaborations or what have you. So, you know, they get rid of that. You know, you wonder how will people communicate? How will they interact? How will I get Red Ice TV on for an interview? How will I get Carrie on for an interview? Well, they don't care. They don't want the interviews to happen. That's the whole point. But so you mentioned something earlier, and Red Ice TV has been making videos. Henrik, you said you've been on the internet making videos since 2006, so covering a litany, wide array of topics around the globe. But it seems that most independent media, from whatever different angles or backgrounds they come from, everything seems to be funneling towards one thing, and that's what you said, Henrik. It's nationalism versus globalism. So everybody may have their other issues and their other topics and stuff to discuss over here, but it seems the main vein is now nationalism versus globalism. And so it's kind of causing a bunch of factions to come together to fight globalism. But then at that same time, as soon as you get labeled as a nationalist, they come after you for censorship. So what do you make of it, Henrik, and then Lana, this trend right now of independent media becoming all about nationalism versus globalism?
Yeah, that's been very interesting to watch the last few years. We kind of really got on this track maybe 2014 or so, started talking about a really controversial topics and stuff, and we had actually more of a conspiracy, even more spiritual topics, kind of off the wall stuff, woo-woo things. I always did Red Ice as a kind of my solo truth seeking journey, really. That's what it was from the beginning, and then it's kind of honed in on certain topics. What's important? What do we need to focus on now? What the hell is going on? Why are they trying to destroy Sweden? These kinds of big questions in the extension Europe, in the extension everywhere, the European diaspora, the Western world essentially, is being targeted. And I've noticed when we got on that track, we got tremendous pushback. There was, of course, a new kind of audience that came in as well. But in the years since that point, especially after like things like the migrant crisis, when the EU and the globalists kind of essentially just opened up the borders to Europe, a lot more people have come aboard this train, if you will, and started talking about these issues, concerned about what's happening, where this is leading with the demographics, with the birth rates, with open borders, with, of course, terrorism and things like this. And we've gotten emails from people who said, sorry, I bashed you when you started talking about these things. Now I see what you're coming from. You were right. They give apologies and stuff. And, of course, some are more hardline and don't see these kinds of things yet. But I think it's an inevitable trend, to be honest, as more and more people wake up. And that's the fundamental reason and the principle why they are trying to shut down outlets like ours. And of course, you guys, you know that more than anyone, yeah, being taken through the ringer. I think it was back in August 2018, you guys were experiencing that. Massive bans, multiple platforms at once. I think it's inevitable. And I think that they're doing too much and they're doing it too late. What I mean is that they're going overboard with the censorship. More and more people are getting pissed off. It's being exposed. In one way, it is kind of proving us right. They can't defeat our arguments, so the only thing that they can do is to try to silence us and shut us down, even limiting our ability to have a business and operating that with financial services. So
yeah,
I think it's inevitable.
It's the old like recess playground ball or pickup ball where the guy that can't win just takes his ball and goes home. That's basically what they're doing. So Lana, what do you make of it that this whole trend of nationalism versus globalism? I mean, if you just take Sweden, you know, people in Sweden are sick of this illegal immigration invasion. And so, but if you speak out of that against that, you get silenced. And so now you can't even report on the bombings that happen, the rapings that happen, the pillaging that's going
very
on
evil.
On a nightly basis. You can't even report on
incredibly
it.
Incredibly evil. Yeah. You know, and here's the thing, when you're on the truth seeking journey too, and we've explored all kinds of conspiracy and everything as well, you come to the biggest conspiracy of all. And I think that is about destroying sovereign nations. And specifically me as a European person, I'm most concerned about European nations, demographic replacement, the open borders policy, the constant anti-white programming and propaganda and white privilege and white guilt. You know, if you have white children, you don't want them growing up as a hated minority. And that is where we are heading. So for me as a mother, I feel extremely worried about that and felt that I needed to start speaking about these things. I was never political before, you know.
And that's why this is not about Red Ice being banned from YouTube. It's not about, in that way, even InfoWars being banned from YouTube. Exactly. It's controversial to say that it's okay to be white now.
And it has nothing to do with hating
people. Oh, it's not even controversial. You can't even do it. You get banned from a college campus.
Yeah, and you could just say, it's okay to be white, don't feel any white guilt. You white supremacist, you Nazi, you shut up.
Yeah,
you know,
the default position is guilt.
We've been defamed. Like, I've been on BBC World News called the Queen Bee of white supremacy. I mean, these people are just, they're filthy liars. They're shameless liars, and they attack, and they are enemies of the truth. They're enemies of free press. InfoWars is press. We are press, whether they like it or not. We are businesses. We are taxpayers. We are media, and they are actively working to silence us. But this can't last forever. People are realizing what is happening. I mean, censorship throughout history has never worked. It's the path of losers, ultimately.
Well, and just look at what's going on around the globe. I mean, almost every major country has some form of a political uprising going on right now. In some countries, it's being censored. In other countries, it's being broadcast for all to see. But the mainstream media is trying to act like it's not going on. What's going on in Ecuador? What's going on in Chile? Well, socialist policies are failing. What's going on in Sweden? Well, the immigration policies are failing. What's going on in the United States? A political revolution is happening. They don't say any of that. They just say, look at these crackers over here on YouTube talking about white people and saying they're the victims now. Get them off of there.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at France. Look at the Yellow Vest movements, how the Western media is covering that up as just as one example. There are dissident, major grassroots dissident movements taking place everywhere. And there's broader coalitions, people that just understand the bigger issue and the bigger scope of what it is that's happening and what these nation wreckers are trying to do to us. And so that's very encouraging to see, but they're doing everything they can to shut that down. And it speaks to my prior point that it's too much. They're overreaching. They're overplaying their hand in terms of how hard they're stomping down with their boot on our faces. People are seeing this. They're getting sick and tired of it. So again, it's not about YouTube or even other social media companies, but it needs to be reemphasized and repeated over and over and over again that these are government subsidized companies still have special protection under sections 230 of the Decency Communications Act. They're operating both as a platform and as a publisher at the same time.
And they're silencing taxpayers.
No free speech.
And their political debate right before an election. I mean,
and there's
no
clear collusion happening when they do it with the commerce and the communication. All right, let's get a final comment from both Lana and Henrik on the other side of this break from Red Eyes TV. I'm really looking forward to the SBLC story about this segment. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a great read.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Panic! It's secret code language! Oh my gosh! Ah! Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Media Matters. Oh wait, they actually will.
Yeah.
Actually, what I've learned, guys, is if I talk about them in the segment, assuming they'll write a hit piece on me, then they never do it. So that's kind of the trick. If you talk to them and bait them into trying to write a piece on you, then they never do it, because that's like a giving you a victory.
Henrik, I hope.
I really do. I like the coverage, honestly. Henrik Palmgren and Lana Lochteff are on here from Red Ice TV, just got removed from YouTube, and of course they've been dealing with censorship on other platforms as well, commerce platforms, communication platforms. I want to get a final take right now from both of you. Let's start with Lana. Just where we're at right now with the censorship, and where do you think it's going?
Well, I kind of wanted to fling some more at SPLC there. I can't believe that people take this organization seriously anymore. I mean, with Morris Deese and all his corruption and his background and what came out of his divorce records. And then isn't there lawsuits there at SPLC too for sexual harassment hostile work environment? They're racist.
Yeah,
to their
but
own
it wasn't
employees.
Reported on MSNBC and CNN, so it doesn't exist.
There's just a lot of creepy, misfit weirdos there. And there are a lot of psychopaths, too, because right after this happened, the senior investigative reporter, he writes me on Twitter. Before, he wrote me just out of the blue, so you like goth music, as he's doing some hit piece or whatever. But, hey, can we get a comment? You know, they act like they're your friend. Henrik, I think you got a message like that. Hey, Henrik,
yeah,
how
email.
Are you? Can
yeah.
we get a comment?
Hope you're doing well.
As we're taking down your channel.
Yeah, and
they took
down
the psychotic.
Yeah, I mean, they reported the backup channel, too. They admitted that. And we had that before even the main one was there. But so we didn't start up a second channel after the first one was banned. We already had that there. Many people have multiple channels for different things. But that I took away immediately. It was actually yesterday that that was deleted. And then they're gloating about it too. They're happy about it.
Well, they're happy too because, you know, InfoWars, Red Eyes, a lot of the creators on the right on YouTube get far more views. I went to SPLC's YouTube channel. It's a joke, guys. If they're lucky if they can even get 1,000 views.
No, that's actually, you just hit it on the head. And it's tough to kind of go down these like arrested development evaluations of what we're dealing with here. But that's really the truth. These are people that have never matured. They've never grown up. To put it in layman's terms. And so they're sitting here in arrested development, still children intellectually, and they don't know what to do. They've never accomplished anything in their own lives. They don't have families that they've started. They don't have a career that is fulfilling to them. So they sit here like little rats behind a computer screen, and they nitpick with all these people that they don't like, and they get you censored, and then that's somehow their victory. And, you know, look, I understand. I mean, hey, you know, maybe you don't like me, fine. But you got to understand, here at InfoWars, we have maybe almost 100 people that work here now. A lot of them have families. So it's like you're impacting families being able to put food on the table for their children. I know that, Lana, you said you have kids too. So that's kind of an angle of this is they're just in arrested development, immature, haven't developed intellectually. They're jealous of the fact we're impactful and successful. They're jealous of the fact that you don't need them to say, hey, you're good. Now you can be successful. You're already successful. And
we
so
don't need
now
all
they're
the
just trying to steal
bailout
that
money like they get too. I mean, they get millions of dollars and go to their YouTube channel and just look. They hide their subscriber count because it's just so pathetic. And look at the production value on their videos. Like, is that really the best that they've got?
Here, you know, let's go to the Southern Poverty Law Center's YouTube channel and give them the most views that they've ever had in one day. And let's see what's going on over there. I didn't even know they had a channel.
Yeah, exactly.
But they pay their mortgages this way.
They're harassing
like little,
us.
They're like
yeah,
little gossip
like
women that are sitting around. They know more about like right-wing circles and things like that than most people in those fields actually do. They're like a little, you know, like Will Sommer at the Daily Beast, and there's a whole crew at like HuffPoop, and there's a whole New York clique from like Talia Levin to Madeline Peltz or is it Peltzer or whatever at the Media Matters and stuff like that. It's all a little incestuous clique, and they're all working together. They have insiders within media companies that write hit pieces on people. Those end up being the the sources, the footnotes that ends up on Wikipedia, and then have created a profile on you where you're an evil white supremacist because you don't hate yourself and your own people.
Right.
They can smear and defame you. They can misconstrue the truth. They can lie. They can do whatever the hell they want, and we have no recourse in editing, updating. Now soon we can't even face our accusers.
Yeah, and where's this going?
Well, really, you're already at that point. I mean, it's not like you can go in front of a YouTube panel and say, oh, here's the dweeb from Southern Poverty Law Center that's telling me to be censored.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's our story. Here's why we cover them. Give us something. Show us references, proof. Show us the videos. Where is this hatred or whatever they're going on about? I mean, they can't pinpoint. We're effectful We were reaching a lot of people.
They don't like that. They hate what they call
our speech hate speech because they hate our speech. Exactly. That's what it's about.
And where's this going with these people? Oh, they would love to ultimately just completely decimate us, make us homeless and destitute, or just put us in gulag camps.
I mean, they'll just kill you. I mean, let's be real. They'd love to see that day come when they could actually admit what they really think and feel. But you know, the crazy formula about this is, I mean, the average leftist that they use, or botnets, or just, you know, minion that they use to get people censored, it's really just like the cannon fodder, the front lines. It's the powers that be at the top that really hate what you're saying. And that's the real threat here. So they use these little groups like Knots Tifa or other leftist botnets and say, oh, see, this is white supremacy. This is hate speech. And they have all their little minions that write their stories. But that's not the real powers that be. There's corporate forces behind this. There's international boards behind this. And they're just the frontline minions working for the globalist establishment.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And we can, you know, disagree about the intricacies or what group has more influence than the other, or what power structure is there or whatever. The important thing is we can be in a space where we still can argue about these points and prove our points and have that conversation and continuing to explore and try to figure out what the hell it is going on, who's pulling the strings, what's the reason, what's the end goal, what's the objective. But even that they don't want to take place, where we actually have civil discourse and partake in the political discourse as well. Because again, they're not only limiting our first speech, our free speech, their First Amendment.
Oh, wait a second, guys. I'm sorry. Hold on. My diversity team, the diversity team at Google and Facebook and Twitter. What's that? Oh, there's been too much men talking and we need more diversity. So yes, there Google, yes, YouTube, yes, Facebook. So Lana has to talk, guys. We haven't had fair airtime for women here. So the men just need to shut up.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Look, you know, a lot of, you know, they think that this is a victory, taking down InfoWars or Red Ice or all these other channels, James Alsop, all these great creators. It's not over. There's life after YouTube. We haven't died. All our audiences are following us and supporting us, and alt tech is rising.
I'll tell you, your audience is your audience is definitely active and engaged. So good for you guys.
They do it with love. Well, yours is
RedIce.tv though. So RedIce.tv, that's where to go and find you guys now.
Yeah, that's right.
And RedIceMembers.com.
RedIceMembers.com. All archived, everything there. Not a single video that we've done back to our start has gone to waste, so to speak. We always had backups. YouTube is the MySpace, really, of the future as they continue to shoot themselves
cable
in the foot.
Cable TV. It's cable TV. And who pays for cable TV?
Yeah, we're starting. And you guys, and that's the thing, too, is once you kind of deal with this, you learn end arounds and stuff. Hey, final question before we go to a break. We only have 30 seconds. I just want to get each of you to answer this question. All right. Multiple choice. Red pill, blue pill, black pill, or honk pill?
White pill.
Yeah, exactly. Where's the white pill? I was waiting for that one.
I don't know the white pill. What's the white pill?
Really.
Are we in heaven already?
That's the positive.
Everything that happens, that's a little racist though.
I don't know if we can do white pill.
That's true.
Can we do white pill? Is that a thing? All right, hey, thank you guys so much. Henrik Palmgren, Lana Lochteff, thank you so much. At Red Ice.
Thanks, Owen. TV on Twitter.
RedIce.tv, folks. RedIce.tv. They've been banned on all the social media platforms.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, where we have massive specials happening right now. It's the Everything Must Go sale. Free shipping store-wide. You know, this, it says up to 70% off supplements, but, you know, that's actually fake news. We've got 75% off some of the supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, including the 8-pack power stack. And you know, it's almost ironic what we did with the 8-pack power stack, but it really just shows Alex Jones' obsession. Because it's really popular. We look at the supplements that are popular, and we try to mimic it and make it better at InfoWarsStore.com. And so we saw there's multivitamin kits for men and for women. And they put it all into a box, and they you know, brand it as this is your supplement kit. And they put it into 2 packs for the nighttime, one for the morning and one for the evening. And so we developed the 8-pack power stack, which is that. And it has the morning pills and then the evening pills. And we put so much time and effort in this. And then we just, because we have so many other products at InfoWarsStore.com and other sales and other specials, and we continue to make new and launch new products, we just didn't do the due diligence to tell the audience about it. And so because of that, we have a lot of it right now, and so we've decided to just make it at a ridiculous discount, folks. I mean, this is, honestly, it's stupid. It really is stupid, but it's $30, and I'm telling you this, you can go look for yourself. Go to whatever supplement store or whatever, superstore, general store, pharmaceutical store, whatever, that sells the multivitamin packs, and you'll see, you know, the cheap line will be $100, and the expensive line will be about $180, and, you know, you can make the comparisons, or you can go to InfoWarsStore.com and look at all the great supplements we have in our 8-pack power stack, and it's only $30. So that's unbeatable. So go get the 8-pack power stack today if you're new to supplementing and you're just wondering, how can I get started? Or you want a supplement, but you want to make it easier on yourself, not go through 100 bottles, not have to sort it all out. InfoWarsStore.com is the answer with the 8-pack power stack. And while you're there, checking that out, look at all the other great supplements. The t-shirts, which, by the way, the Space Force t-shirt, limited number left. A limited number left, ladies and gentlemen. So take advantage of that. And wear it out to the Tent City Tailgate Round 2. It's official. November. That's right, Sam had it. No, give Sam. Tent City Tailgate Round 2. November 9th, outside of the UT Longhorn Football Stadium. We'll be there. We're going to set up a booth again. We're going to have a hot grill going. If you want to bring out your own food, we had people do that this weekend. If you want to just eat some of our food, we'll probably have plenty too. We'll have beverages of your choice. And we're going to have a big booth with a tent set up. We're going to do it even bigger this time. How do you like me now? We're going to do it even bigger. Round 2, even bigger. So, come out and join us, Tent City Tailgate Round 2, Saturday, November 9th. Now, they have not released a game time for kickoff. I'm expecting an afternoon kickoff, hoping for an afternoon kickoff. But we'll probably get outside and tailgating about 3 hours prior to kickoff or whatever the case may be. So, come out and join us. And then the next day, it worked out perfectly. The next day, we have a flag lay at the Texas State Cemetery at 10 a.m., and then right after that, we're going to go do a flag wave on a popular bridge for an hour somewhere in downtown Austin, Texas. I'll fire up a live stream. We'll stand on the bridge for an hour, wave American flags, Trump flags, whatever you want. Hell, if you're an Antifa, come on out and wave your flag. We'll even let you do that if you so are inclined. And so that's all coming up. And, of course, everything we do is made possible with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And our reporters are doing such great work with Millie Reaver, with Caitlin Bennett, with John Bowne, with Paul Joseph Watson. Of course, in-studio hosts, David Knight, Alex Jones, myself. You have Firepower with Will Johnson at Band.Video. It's all possible with your support of us, but of yourself at InfoWarsStore.com. All right. What do I want to do here? We've got the clips of all the Democrats saying lynch, whether it's the, and I think it was all because of the Clinton impeachment. So the Democrats are on tape saying lynch dozens of times, and then they complain about Trump doing it. So let's just go ahead and do this right now. So President Trump was right. It is a political lynching. It is illegal what they're doing to him. And by the way, if you look up the dictionary definition of lynching, it has nothing to do with race. And so when the Democrats say lynch 100,000 times, it's okay. Trump says it once, it's forbidden. It just goes to show you do as I say, not as I do. What's good for the goose is not good for the gander. And so we just found some clips. We just found some clips here. And here's just a small compilation of Democrats using the word lynch.
I will not vote for this lynching.
And indeed, it is a political lynching.
The lynch mob, though, Mr. President, now has a new leader.
You know, verbal political lynching on the floor of the Senate.
A step down the road to becoming a political lynch mob.
We do everything but hang people for jaywalking.
History is going to question whether or not this was just a partisan lynching.
I will not vote for this.
That was Joe Biden. Seriously, actually, that's actually kind of funny. Play that on repeat over me as I'm talking. Because again, the Democrats use lynching whenever they want. Lynch mob, hanging, Biden, all of them. It's all on Congress, John Kerry. Oh, but Trump uses it and it's the end of the world. Oh, and you just see how obsessed they are with destroying Trump. And you know what's amazing? They've become so blind in their hate. They become so blind in their deception that they can't even see how obviously fraudulent they are. All this phony outrage, all this phony criticism.
History is going to question whether or not this was just a partisan lynching.
Oh, that's Joe Biden. Are the Democrats going to ask Joe why he's so racist and uses a term like lynching? Oh my gosh, Trump said lynching, it's the end of the world. And then there's dozens of Democrats saying lynching when it came to the Clinton impeachments. Which of course, again, it doesn't matter. They could have said it for 100 other things. The point is, Trump says it, and all of a sudden it's a national news story. He must be impeached. Of course, anything Trump does is a national news story, and somehow they twist it to claim that he's bad. And it's either racist or xenophobic or this, that, or the other thing. But, of course, that's who the Democrats are. And if you think that the word lynching only pertains to one race of people, that makes you the racist. Of course, that's not what the Democrats are doing. That's not what the media is doing. This is just part of the Get Trump campaign. And they just assume that the American people aren't going to do the research for themselves. They know that they've censored any outlets that will actually air the tapes of the Democrats saying lynching. And so they know they can get away with their phony outrage. They know they can get away with their fake news. They know they can get away with their fake attacks on Donald Trump because they control the media. Of course, they don't. And they're losing this battle every day, but it doesn't matter because these are just the cannon fodder talking points that are being consumed by the public. What's going on behind the scenes is the real story. And so I'm going to get into that when we begin the third hour. I'm going to get into what's actually going on behind the scenes right now, why Adam Schiff is acting so criminally, and why Adam Schiff is engaged in such blatant fraud right now. What he's actually doing is projecting what's going on behind the scenes to the Obama administration, pretending like it's happening to Trump. That's all fake news. And Schiff has been caught red-handed. He's now being censured. And by the way, I'll just say this. It's nice to see Republicans standing up against the illegal activity of Shifty Adam Schiff, but it's not quite enough. It's time for the Republicans to, grow one, I guess you could say. It's nice. Oh, you're standing outside the door. It's a nice little ceremony. Okay, we came here. We're outside the door. Schiff won't let us in. All right, we did it. Let's go. Bang the door down. Go into that hearing. Don't be such cowards. Don't be so spineless like Mitch McConnell. Oh, I don't like what Trump said about lynching, and I'm going to meet with Chuck Schumer about impeachment. No, Mitch!
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
So we were just telling you about the Democrats who say, we need transparency. There's no transparency. Obstruction, obstruction. And then Adam Schiff lies to Congress about a whistleblower testimony, lies about a whistleblower, lies about the word said on a phone call. Just pretty much, if Adam Schiff opens his mouth, you can just assume he's lying. It's pretty safe to say. And then they have closed-door hearings. And, of course, we all know what this is about. This is about Adam Schiff protecting his fake whistleblower, his false narrative, and then stops Republicans from going in as he cries for transparency. Adam Schiff is a total fraud, at the very least. And so here is a clip of Republicans trying to get inside of Adam Schiff's illegal closed-door hearing.
We're going to go and see if we can get inside. So let's see if we can get in.
So I think it was about 45 Republicans go inside the closed-door impeachment inquiry hosted by that dirtbag Adam Schiff. And so they're sitting here saying, how dare the Republicans be so disruptive? How dare they? But yeah, they're not allowed to breathe. Yeah, Republicans aren't allowed to think. They're not allowed to act. They're not allowed to do anything. Adam Schiff is allowed to do whatever the hell he wants, though.
Trying to hide. I think that's a question so many people have, so many of my colleagues have, so many people in the press should have, is through those hidden closed doors over there, Adam Schiff is trying to impeach a president of the United States.
But this investigation is being conducted by the Intelligence Committee. And the members of the Republican side are there if they choose to be during the depositions. They are certainly permitted to ask whatever questions they want to.
And it's finally reached a boiling point where members just said they are so frustrated at the idea that they can't be a part of this and see what's going on. And so we're at a standstill here. We'll see what happens with today's witness.
And then, of course, Adam Schiff delayed the hearing. And I'm going to explain why on the other side. But really think about how incredible this is. But, you know, that is the question, isn't it? That Steve Scalise, who got shot, by the way, thanks to a radical leftist motivated by mainstream liberal media. What is Adam Schiff hiding? Seriously, what is Adam Schiff's deal? I mean, we know he doesn't care about foreign collusion. He attempted to engage in that himself. It's on tape. It's well known. It's well documented. He was on the phone. I mean, this is all, it's not even leaked. It was published publicly. So we know he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about transparency. He's stopping Republicans from going into his closed door hearings. We know he has no dirt on Donald Trump because he has to lie and make it up during congressional hearings. So what is Adam Schiff hiding? But it's not what is Adam Schiff hiding when it comes to the whistleblower. It's what motivated Adam Schiff to engage in such clear and blatant fraud? What motivated Adam Schiff to start this campaign to begin with? And I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's Brennan, it's Clapper, and it's Obama. But why is Adam Schiff willing to be their henchman in Congress? Why is Adam Schiff willing to be their dirty bag man in Congress? So the real question is not what is it that Adam Schiff has to hide? It's what does Obama and Brennan and Clapper have on Adam Schiff to run him around like the ringleader of their spy circus and to engage in all of this fraud? So what is it that Obama and Brennan and Clapper have on Adam Schiff out there in Hollywood? What is it that they have on Adam Schiff that he would willingly and publicly engage in such fraud and treason against the Republic? That's the real question. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the third and final hour of the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. Something's got to give. Something's got to give. What am I talking about? There's a cold civil war happening right now. And you've got the phony investigations being done by the Democrats into Donald Trump, where they've turned up nothing in 2.5, close to 3 years now. I mean, not to get disgusting, but let's make a crude comparison. If somebody's giving you a colonoscopy and they've been up there inspecting your colon for 2.5 years and they don't find anything, I think it's fair to say you got a clean colon. But the doctor says, no. I got to stay up there. I got to keep looking. You're like, doc, you've been up there for 2.5 years. It cost me a lot of money. I think it's good. No. I'm going to stay in your colon here for at least another year, and we'll make sure. We just got to do the due diligence here. Just doing our job. It's what's right. No, you'd say that doctor's engaged in malpractice, probably at a criminal level. Well, that's what the Democrats are doing. Now, I got this stack of news, and I'm going to explain everything that's going on right now, and it hit me last night. But I have to be honest, as I'm sitting here contemplating how I'm going to roll this out, I'm getting a little heated. Because how do I mean, there's a fire inside of me when I talk about this stuff, because I know what's going on, folks. And we all know what's going on. This isn't, oh my gosh, I know what's going on. It's we all know what's going on. And so it's hard for me to talk about this and remain calm, knowing that this is blatant treason that Adam Schiff is engaging in right now. Knowing that it was Obama and Brennan and Clapper with the illegal spying that's just going to be the kind of, let's say, Pandora's box. I mean, folks, the corruption of the Obama years, it really goes beyond what we'll even know. And with Hillary and Benghazi funding terror and all of it, I mean, it's... And that's just the stuff during the Obama years. And it goes well beyond that. That's why the whole establishment hates Trump. But it's hard for me to come on here and cover this news, and I'm already just pontificating, because it's the same thing. Obama engaged in blatant treason. This guy was a traitor to the United States of America. I don't even know how else to say it. I mean, that's it. That's it. Cut and dry. Done. So was Brennan. So was Clapper. They all were. The whole administration, folks. And you wonder, is it just political corruption got so out of control and reached a head? Or was there something else afoot here? Was there a deeper corruption afoot? And so it's hard for me to sit here and report on this, knowing it's all going on, and also knowing I'm not going to get a damn thing out of this. Because until Adam Schiff is arrested and censured and investigated, until Brennan and Clapper and Obama are arrested and investigated, and quite frankly, in Guantanamo Bay, I'm never going to be satisfied. So it's almost a fool's errand to come on here and break this down for you, because I know at the end of the day, despite all the treason we know Obama and his administration, now the Democrats are engaged in, nothing's going to happen. Schiff's going to close the door on the Republicans, and like the spineless cowards that they are, they're going to do nothing. And then what do the American people get because of it? Nothing except more treason from the Democrats trying to destroy this country. So, let me take a deep breath and try to go through this news without becoming enraged at the fact we have media engaged in blatant lies, we have the Democrat Party engaged in blatant lies, and it's all an attempt to cover up the blatant treason from Barack Obama, from Hillary Clinton, and the like, all the way down, ladies and gentlemen. But here we go. Federalist.com. Adam Schiff flip-flopped on whistleblower testimony after reports of coordination. No, here's what's going on. Adam Schiff has been fully exposed as a fraud. Adam Schiff and his whistleblowers have been totally exposed as a fraud. And so now they're just running around trying to cover their own behinds, and they don't want the Republicans in on any of these fake hearings. Oh, but then they say, no, we're going to delay these impeachment witnesses because Elijah Cummings' memorials. Folks, do not believe that fake news. This is their number one thing to get Trump out of office. they wouldn't delay it for anyone's memorial. Not even Ruth Bader Ginsburg. They would say, Ruth would want us to shut Trump down. And now, they're even, and it's gotten so bad, they're now even threatening people's paychecks. Democrats could tie paychecks to testimony in impeachment inquiry. Now, again, this is totally illegal for the Democrats to do this. But they're claiming they're going to threaten to force Trump administration officials' compliance with their impeachment inquiry by targeting their paychecks. So this is what they do at every level. This is how an authoritarian tyranny works, ladies and gentlemen. So you saw the Republicans storm the closed-door impeachment hearing led by the criminal Adam Schiff. They weren't let in, and so they backed down. And then Adam Schiff said, oh, we're going to have to cancel some of our whistleblowers now. There's a Elijah Cummings memorial. Yeah, that's it. You've got the New York – Trump's lawyers are in court every day now. It doesn't get reported, but so his attorneys are in court every day, multiple courts. One of them is fighting to stop what's going on in California. It's going on in New York to stop the release of his tax returns. And he says, you know, the president could shoot someone and escape prosecution because of the way the law is written. And so now they run with that saying, oh, yeah, the president, they think he could murder someone and get away with it. See, they're criminals. But folks, these next three headlines are what it's really all about. And this is, it was reading these stories juxtaposed to all Adam Schiff's BS that really made it clear to me. Washington Examiner, Durham scrutinizing four key figures in Trump-Russia investigation. The secretive Justice Department inquiry into the Trump-Russia investigation's origins now include former CIA Director John Brennan, we told you that, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, told you that too, and then, of course, former FBI Special Agent Peter Stroke and British ex-spy Christopher Steele. And so this is all being done by John Durham. And they say, oh, it's secretive. No, it's just they're not leaking and lying all the way across the board because there isn't a political agenda. The political agenda afoot is justice, ladies and gentlemen. Not get Trump. Durham is about justice. And so you're not getting the leaks. Now, we'll see if we get justice. But we're not getting the leaks. But this is the key. Everything Adam Schiff is saying and doing is happening except the reverse, the mirror image. It's dozens of whistleblowers coming forward about Obama and Brennan and Clapper and Stroke and Steele. All the whistleblowers are coming forward exposing the Obama treason. All the whistleblowers are coming forward exposing the Russian collusion lie and the illegal spying by the Obama administration, because they're not dumb. They're just in these agencies kind of doing their footwork, knowing what's really going on. And so then when they see, oh, there's a fire about to break out here, I don't want to get burned. Yeah, here's what Obama did. Yeah, here's what Clapper did. Yeah, here's what Brennan did. And then Brennan and Clapper go on mainstream news and throw Obama under the bus because they know they're burned. And there's more whistleblowers coming forward. And Durham can't even get a free minute because every day a new whistleblower is coming forward about how Barack Obama broke the law. Because everyone's trying to cover their own hide right now. And so whatever blackmail they have on Adam Schiff, he's fully in the tank for Obama and Brennan and Clapper, folks. So I don't know what little Adam Schiff is doing that they have all this blackmail on him, making him engage in public treason. But that's what's going on. And the reason why Durham can't finish his investigation, A, is because of the whistleblowers, but that's really irrelevant at this point. They can't find Joseph Misfud, who is one of the missing key links in this whole thing. Misfud might be dead. That could be the latest Clinton side. Nobody knows. But just understand this, ladies and gentlemen. Everything Adam Schiff claims to be doing with his Trump impeachment is the reverse image. It's Obama who has whistleblowers coming out against him. It's Brennan and Clapper that have whistleblowers coming up against him and all the treason that they engaged in. That's why this investigation is ongoing. There's so much dirt on Obama.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
It's really incredible, and I'm just going to say it one more time. but it all boils down to this. Adam Schiff is running cover for the treason of the Obama administration. Now, you can try to figure out why Adam Schiff is doing this. Maybe he really thinks there's some political future, or this is gaining political capital for him somehow. Maybe he's blackmailed. I'd go with the latter. But that's what's happening, folks. The Obama administration is caught red-handed. Engaged in treason up to their eyeballs. Obama literally running guns. He's literally an arms dealer. I mean, Bill Clinton may have been selling coke from the Oval Office. I don't know, but Obama's dealing arms and got caught in Fast and Furious. I mean, Bill Clinton just bombed the hell out of Serbia for like a week straight to distract from his impeachment trial. So I guess Clinton, you know, he does his own deal. Obama just engaged in all kinds of treason. And he got into office and he just saw the whole dam broke loose. And he just said, I'm just going to do whatever the hell I want. Screw the law. But then the powers that be said, okay, well, you know, we're going to have to bring some reins on you here. You know, you can't stop these foreign wars. And Obama said, that's fine. I'll expand them, bitch. He did. Oh, bitch. Ooh, that might be illegal in Massachusetts. I forgot now. Ain't that a bitch? But no, so Obama engaged in illegal activity and treason up to his eyeballs. Trump knows it. Folks, look. You don't think Donald Trump, first day in office, probably went for full access into Obama's real history and file? Mm. Who knows if the birth certificate's real or fake? It doesn't matter. Everything that was Obama ended up to be a total fraud. That's why the average Obama voter now supports Trump. It's about a 50-50 split. It's either the brainwashed masses that just worship at the feet of Manchel and Barack, or it's the actual informed voters that thought, hey, Barack really is an outsider, realized he was a fraud, and now think Trump and are right about him so far being an outsider. But again, folks, that's what it comes down to, period. And you may have noticed Dianne Feinstein has been relatively silent. Remember Dianne Feinstein got caught with a Chinese spy? No, folks. Dianne Feinstein was a Chinese spy. Yeah. And so let's just say Feinstein got the message and shut her trap. And that was wise of her. But there's a reason why Feinstein isn't on the front lines of impeachment. There's a reason why you don't see Feinstein making headlines. There's a reason why Feinstein isn't on the attack against Trump every day. Folks, she got caught as a Chinese spy. And they let everybody know about it, too. Please, Feinstein had a Chinese spy under her employee for 20 years that was driving her around. Folks, do the math. Dianne Feinstein was the Chinese spy. Don't be fooled by a headline. Do some logic and reasoning, folks. Dianne Feinstein was the Chinese spy. She got caught red-handed. So Trump said, look, Dianne, we know what you did. We don't know how you became so rich in Congress. Maybe we investigate that. Or maybe, you know, we'd rather not, so just back off. Feinstein got the message, didn't she? She's smart enough. But Pelosi's kind of been on both sides of that aisle. She didn't get caught with a Chinese spy, but she's caught with $200 million in her bank account somehow. Nobody knows how. So she's kind of been hedging back and forth with Trump. But then there's old Adam Schiff, who is totally bought and paid for and is covering up for the Obama treason right now. And everything that John Durham is actually doing behind the scenes with real whistleblowers coming forward, Schiff is trying to mirror image that and project it onto Trump. But, you know, it's pathetic with leaders like Mitch McConnell, who says he's going to sit down with Chuck Schumer to discuss impeachment. Pathetic, Mitch. Pathetic. And there's a reason why the Washington Examiner put out a poll that 7 in 10 say the U.S. is on the edge of civil war. Well, folks, the United States is already in a cold civil war. The media just doesn't tell you it. And so they feel the tension. They know in their subconscious what's going on. But because of the TV brainwashing, because of the, I really don't even know what it is. It's just like this lack of belief in oneself, or this lack of you as an individual having the ability to think and reason for yourself. You need a website or a television to do it for you. No, there is a cold civil war. No, the government is totally corrupt. No, Trump is anti-establishment. They don't tell you that in the media because they know you're brainwashed into that
it can only be real or assured if it's confirmed by the media. So it's like media confirmation bias on a very large scale. But that's what Adam Schiff's job is right now. And I cannot hammer that home enough, folks. That's it. That's everything. Now, I'm not saying it's going to go how we want it to go. I'm not saying that Trump is going to drop the hammer on these people. I'm not saying Durham or Barr is going to be the hero we want them to be. I'm just telling you, the investigations are ongoing. It's Brennan, it's Clapper, it's Obama. They engaged in treason. They engaged in the coup. Durham and Barr are doing a real investigation. A lot of whistleblowers are coming forward every day. They got their head on a swivel because they don't want to get burned by Obama. These are decent people in the FBI, in the CIA, in the DNI. Or working with DNI that knew it was all going on, but did their job, went along with command, and now that Trump is the real deal and they've seen it, and they've seen the Project Veritas tapes, they're all coming forward, working with Barr, working with Durham, because they don't want to get burned. So yes, Adam Schiff is being honest with you when he says all the whistleblowers are coming forward about the investigation, except it's not his investigation. There are no whistleblowers in his investigation. That's all fake. The real whistleblowers right now are coming out of the FBI and the CIA against Obama. And Schiff is giving you a mirror reverse image of that, projecting it onto Trump. So we will see what the result of all of that is. But that is what's going on right now. And I can't, you know, I'm going to have to let it go because I'm telling you, I start thinking about Adam Schiff and I know who that dirtbag is. And I just have to give it up to God. That's all I can do. Because I can sit here and I can get frustrated and pound on the desk and, you know, think about the ramifications of this physical realm. But, you know, Adam Schiff is going to have to answer to God. And let me tell you, as tough as, you know, the toughest Patriots might like to seem, let me tell you, Adam, when you're dealing with the almighty creator, he's a lot tougher and more spiteful than any human you may have fear of. So, you know, Adam Schiff, maybe you should repent now. Maybe you should repent now, Adam Schiff. But you're totally possessed by the devil and blackmailed, so that's not going to happen. All right, folks, when we come back, I'm going to do a news blitz and try to hammer out all the news in the final two segments. But in this short break, go to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of the Everything Must Go sale, free shipping store-wide. If you're not into supplements but you want to get started, the 8-pack power stack is for you, ladies and gentlemen. We have it all organized and sorted out, the pills and supplements you take in the morning and the supplements you take at night. And it's only $30. I mean, this retail, I think we have it $120. It's $30 right now. And that's already at a discounted price at $120. But leading competitors, $180 for the top, like $120 for the lowest. We go with the lowest price and the best supplements. So it's the 8-pack power stack at InfoWarsStore.com. But try all the great supplements. I just got back in the gym. I'm a little sore today. But thanks to the bodies from InfoWarsStore.com, I'm not too sore.
Infowars.com/show. Locked in a battle for the soul of humanity. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
Let me call an audible and get to some clips here and then do a news blitz. Let's do this, guys. Let's look at some... Here, let me first do these two news stories and then get into these clips from the NBA. Season just opened last night. You can't spell LeBron without an L, but I'll get into that shortly. First of all, you have a Muslim woman who escaped a Chinese re-education camp, reveals horrors. The story's in the Daily Mail. Folks, she speaks of torture,
and other such stuff at this Chinese re-education camp. She says inmates turned into bodies without a soul. So this is what goes on at the Chinese re-education camp, internment camps that the Democrats are silent about. And then they claim that, you know, places where we take in non-citizens, refugees, asylum seekers for free, by the way, and give them shelter and food and clothing and education and a nice soccer field and televisions and pretty much anything the heart could desire or want. That's bad. But, you know, Chinese have torture camps where they send dissidents and, you know, that's perfectly fine. That's just their culture. And so the NBA chooses to ignore this. They speak out against social injustice in the West, which, sure, there's some, but not even measurable compared to the scope of what happens in China, which they ignore. Now, here's the key. And this is actually going to be key for the future when it comes to how much power does the Chinese state government have in the West. And they're going to find out, too, because the NBA, very popular, obviously, and so this is kind of a test both ways. So Chinese state TV keeps NBA opener off the air. And so they started pulling these broadcasts after what happened with Daryl Morey. And so now China is pulling their NBA games from TV. So this is basically China saying, unless you 110% accept Chinese censorship and the Chinese social system of oppression, then we're not going to air your games. Ball's in your court, pun not intended, NBA. And so now the NBA has to measure, and they've already done their whole sellout to China with the public comment, but that's not really what matters. What matters is the bottom line with their financial decisions, because the NBA, China's put the ball in their court, now has to decide. Are we going to implement Chinese-style censorship in our league? Because they're trying to figure out, can we even do that without the American public noticing? And they pretty much know that's not the case. And again, you're now seeing the stories about how the NBA is bracing for all these Chinese Hong Kong protests. I reported that first. And so the NBA is at a pass right now, an impasse, where they're either going to engage in the full-on censorship like China wants, or they're not going to be aired in China. Now, of course, what does it all come down to? How greedy is the NBA? How greedy is Adam Silver? How greedy are NBA players? The average NBA contract is the richest contract among any professional sports league. The average NBA player, even the guy that is the bench warmer, makes more than the average player in any other sport. I think, like, the average bench player in an NBA team is making $5 million a year, okay? So they already make plenty of money, but it's not enough. So will the NBA, $5 million, there it is right there. So will the NBA engage in complete Chinese-style censorship just to get that Chinese money, just to get into that Chinese market? Or, and folks, it's all right now. I mean, the ball is in the NBA's court. China has made their move, and now they've given the NBA the option. So the NBA doesn't have a year to decide. The NBA doesn't have 10 years to decide. The NBA has now to decide. And so right now, they're measuring, what do we value more, Chinese money or just money in general, or freedom? And unfortunately, I think the NBA values money more. However, they know it's not going to fly in America, which is really where their bread is buttered. It's where their bread is the ingredients and is baked and is buttered. It's all in America, not in China. China didn't make basketball. China didn't make the NBA popular. In fact, I don't think there's any Chinese players in the NBA right now. Maybe Jeremy Lin. I don't know if he's still playing. So what is the NBA going to do? They can't get away with it. They know that. And you know, let's go to these two clips. First, let's go to, how about this smart young lad? Can't be older than, what, 13 years old. And he's at, I think, I don't know what game he's at. Maybe a Clippers with the Clippers and the Lakers played. Big NBA rivalry, both franchises in Los Angeles. By the way, the Lakers lost. Poor LeBron. We'll get to that in a second, though. But here's this young NBA fan tricks the cameraman to get a free Hong Kong t-shirt on the screen and watch the cameraman freak out. Roll the clip. So the kid holds up an LA Clippers shirt, gets on the dance cam, and then flips it, and it says, "We stand with freedom for Hong Kong." Hey, just roll this on B-roll, guys. Clippers shirt, they put him on the Jumbotron. Oh, no, he flips it. "I stand with Hong Kong." And then the cameraman flips out and doesn't know what to do. Now, this is an in-house cameraman. So this means that even the in-house cameramen are in on the NBA ruling, which is no mention of Hong Kong. No mention, no for free speech. And I told you that was the case. So now, how about that kid, though? I mean, seriously, like, folks, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody expects someone else to take action. You take action, man. You be the man in the arena. And so good on that young man for getting that t-shirt on the air, and you saw them freak out immediately. The camera, whoa, whoa, hey, ooh, ooh. He starts moving up into the right and just looks at a wall. So, I mean, they're really trying to censor this, folks. So, I mean, what is the NBA going to do? Is the NBA going to sell out to China? And then that becomes, like I said at the beginning of the show, that becomes the threshold. That becomes the measuring stick for the rest of these major corporations that are in the same predicament that the NBA is in right now. Do we value freedom or money more? Do we like cash money or do we like cash money? Or do we love cash money? We have freedom, but we really love cash money. And so that's where the NBA is at. We'll see where they go. Now, LeBron James, boy, what a disgraceful nightmare this great American athlete has turned into. Really pathetic that this is what LeBron James has done with his talents as a basketball player. And it's sad because LeBron James, as a great basketball player, will go down in history as one of the most hated NBA players of all time, quite frankly. And it could have been maybe debated. Now it won't be. So here's LeBron at the Los Angeles Lakers home opener last night against the LA Clippers. During the national anthem, check out the total disrespect LeBron had at the end of the national anthem.
Let's go!
So just keep it rolling, guys. So the singer of the national anthem is not even finished with the national anthem. LeBron James breaks the line. If you watch sports, you know when they sing the national anthem, the athletes line up on each side of the floor or the ice or whatever, the diamond, and they stand there, put their hand on their heart, take off their hat, sing the national anthem, and then when it's over, the crowd goes crazy, the players go crazy. LeBron decided to break rank in the military. You know, it's going to be frowned upon, but, you know, if you're an American athlete that cares more about money and yourself than anything else, then, yeah, you'll do this. You don't care. You'll spit on the American flag. You hate America, even though America made you filthy rich for dribbling a ball. But so LeBron James takes the big L last night. You can't spell LeBron without L. But there is, totally disrespects the American national anthem, but bows and takes a knee to China. Boy, if that's a symbol for where the NBA is going, it's not going to be a pleasant season for the NBA. And it's not going to be a pleasant season for LeBron either, who looks like he's not the LeBron of old. He's just L now.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got breaking news. The United States of America National Basketball Program has just traded LeBron James to China. So LeBron James will be playing for the Chinese basketball team coming up in the next Olympics and World Games. I'm being facetious, but he probably should. I think that would only be fair. All right, I need to do a news blitz here before I get too distracted. So let me just do it. Let me just bear down here and let me just do this news blitz right here, right now. Facebook Zuckerberg grilled in U.S. Congress on digital currency privacy elections. You know, I think that America has just gotten tired of all of this because we have all these hearings and nothing gets done. Facebook and YouTube and Google, they all get to lie about what they do, and there's never anything done about it, and they continue to engage the censorship. Nothing is done about it. We keep hearing about all the investigations by the attorney generals, but we're all waiting for some results. But I think America's just kind of getting sick of watching this. I mean, how many times do we have to watch that Zuckerberg freak on TV for 3 hours? I mean, no emotion in that guy. Joe Biden called out for lying about Sandy Hook families, and in fact, one of the people that was involved with the Sandy Hook called Joe Biden out for this lie and said that not only did Joe Biden not go visit Sandy Hook with Obama, some people were allowed on Air Force One, but this individual, JT Lewis, on Twitter says his family was not allowed because they didn't support Obama-Biden gun control efforts. So it's funny how that works. Oh, you know, we feel bad and we stand with the families of Sandy Hook. Wow, thank you. You know, we think, you know, maybe arming the teachers is the answer. Ooh, sorry, never mind. We don't stand with you. You just walk away. And then Biden lies about the whole thing. But we'll see if anybody covers. You know, nobody wants to call out Biden. Biden lying about that. Hey, give me a doc cam here of this image. How do you even explain this? Think about this. If you're a radio audience, it's a picture of the shelves of tobacco, cigarette products. And then there's an empty spot with a sign that says, due to public health concerns, we will no longer carry vaping products. And then it's surrounded by a bunch of cigarettes that are known to be unhealthy. You know what this screams to me, folks? Big tobacco, just one big time. Because if this was about a public health concern, they wouldn't be selling cigarettes. So all this is big tobacco just won, and they're trying to destroy the vaping industry. And if this picture doesn't illustrate that in 1,000 words, I don't know what will. Everything removed that isn't big tobacco, uh-huh. So the cigarette companies will maintain their dominance in the tobacco market, and no innovation for health concerns is allowed. We've talked about this before, and this is something the left refuses to understand, even though the Washington Post publishes this story, healthcare system causing rampant burnout among doctors and nurses. Well, what do you think is going to happen when you have free healthcare? That's what I've said. The left wants to make doctors slaves. The left wants to make nurses slaves. They'll never get time off. Nurses already work like 14-hour shifts. Now, luckily, there's enough nurses and RNs out there that they can get decent time off and not be too overworked. But with doctors, it's a lot different. So what are you going to do when you have the free healthcare for everyone in the whole world and open borders? And by the way, doctors still have to volunteer a lot of their time. So, yeah, nobody's going to want to be a doctor. Doctors are going to become burnt out. Service is going to get worse. And then the whole nationalized healthcare ends up collapsing in on itself, and you can't get a broken leg stented. You can't get throat checked out for whatever, and that's what it does. And then the doctors are no good, and the nurses are no good, and that's what socialized healthcare does, and that's where we're going. And it's already kind of gotten there, and that's why doctors are burnt out, and less people want to be doctors. So just more negative side effects of socialist policies that the left will never admit to. You know, here's an interesting issue. Lobbyists for India's outsourcing industry may take over DHS. You know, we don't tend to talk about this, but Indian-American workers, actually just Indian workers, are really taking a lot of jobs. And they're cheap labor, so a lot of companies on both sides of the aisle are all behind this. Is it an issue? Is it not? We don't tend to care. We tend to believe that at least the people that come here working from India at least don't hate our way of life. And we have a strong relationship with India now. But You know, you talk about the American workers. Nobody seems to care that we're importing and outsourcing jobs to millions of Indians. And by the way, when you guys look up U.S. remittances, I wonder how much go back to India. I think China is number one still. I think Mexico maybe number two. You know, why don't we tax remittances? It's got to be billions of dollars leaving the United States every year. We should like, whatever tax we have on remittances that leave the U.S., we should probably triple it. Maybe even quadruple it. Because what's the point of becoming an American citizen if you can work here, send all your money back home, take advantage of the fact that our dollar is stronger than most other currencies, and then we get nothing for it? So maybe we should look at some new remittance laws and taxes. Trump administration, by the way, guys, keep searching for that. Just pull it up if you find it. Trump administration moves to lift protections for fish and divert water to farms. And this, of course, is a problem to the New York Times over a tiny little fish. You know, I did more looking into what was going on in California, and it's actually ironic. I had to do a report on Barbara Boxer for a political science class. I got an A, by the way. Barbara Boxer, crazed lunatic leftist from California, who did all kinds of things to stop California from being able to do just common sense stuff in nature. You can't backburn. You can't chop a tree. It's like PG&E is like, okay, we need to chop all these trees out. It's basically like kindling here. It's going to start a fire, but you can't even chop a tree down in California because it might harm a newt. So they have all these regulations, and the farmers can't get water, so they can't go grow crops. And so Trump is like, this is ridiculous. Let's let the farmers have water. And then the left says, oh, my gosh, how dare you? There it is. The U.S. loses $150 billion annually in remittances. That is ridiculous. I'm telling you, we need to implement a 50% tax on remittances. Screw them. This is really sad. Two Proud Boys sentenced to 4 years in prison for defending themselves from Antifa attack. You know, this really makes you wonder, folks. The whole thing was on tape. It's not even debatable. They were attacked first and defended themselves, and they get 4 years in jail. This is beyond heartbreaking. I mean, it's heartbreaking for them on an individual personal level, but it's heartbreaking for the United States of America that there really is no justice now. And everything is so politicized that even if it's on tape with all the evidence, it doesn't matter. If you're considered a conservative or a nationalist or you're white, you're bad no matter what. Even if the video evidence shows otherwise. You know what? I can't even deal with this. This is the videotape. It's literally them getting attacked first, and then how dare they defend themselves? They get 4 years in jail. It's just sickening. Justice, unbelievable. Judge Judy says Michael Bloomberg is the only Democrat that can save the fracture. Well, she says America is fractured. No, Judge Judy, the Democrat Party is fractured. America is united behind Trump. You're just left out. But Bloomberg is smart enough not to run against Trump. He'll probably run in 2024. Folks, they're trying to, you know, Trump deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for his deals with Syria, but the mainstream media is trying to twist it and spin it and lie about it. Russia reaps windfalls of Trump's chaos. No, Trump didn't create the chaos. Trump is getting the United States out of it. And you know what? Russia should be the one negotiating the deal with Turkey and Syria, which is done now. And it's a good thing. But then here's Yahoo News. Russia-Turkey deal shatters Syria-Kurd dreams of self-rule. That's a lie. That's a lie. This was a three-way deal with Syria, Turkey, and Russia, and now the Kurds are making a deal with Syria. This is good. Trump has actually got the deal done, folks. Trump should get a Nobel Peace Prize for what he's done in North Korea. Trump should get a Nobel Peace Prize for what he's done in Syria. But they lie about him nonstop. They lie about what's happening. And what happened to the left that used to be anti-war? Now all of a sudden they're pro-war because Trump's anti-war. Trump could come out as pro, I like living. And they say, death is good, Trump. All right, that does it for the War Room today. You stay classy, Info Warriors.